5 of a series called Flourish. Week 5 of a series called Flourish. And in this series, we've talked about that God has made us. And not only has he made us, he's called us for purposes, that our life is not insignificant, but there's great purpose in the ways that God has made us and called us to follow him. And so this is the last week in the series, Lord willing. You never know what happens. There's been times where the series gets extended, but I think this is the last week in the series. And so I want to share with you guys something that I'm guilty of saying, Austin, if you get a chance, can you hit the lights for me, my brother? Let's go. Can we get up for our worship team? Didn't they do a great job today? Wasn't that so cool? Jonathan got up there with the cello. Let's go. Keeping things fresh at Vertical. Got to keep y'all on your toes. Walked in today thinking we're predictable, but then we got the cello out, so let's go. And so I want to tell you guys something I'm really guilty of saying, and it's when, you know, in America, I don't know if you noticed, we always greet everyone, and we're like, how are you? You know, I mean, that's like our go-to ask the question of how are you? And my response is always pretty much, I'm good, I'm busy, but I'm good, right? That's my go-to response. One, because it's true. If you hang around me enough, about 90-something percent of the time, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm chill, I'm good, I'm happy, I'm good. 90-something percent of the time, if you ask how I'm doing, I'm good. But I'm also busy. That's true. And I'm honest with you, that response that I give bothers me. I don't like being busy. I don't know that that's the way that we're supposed to be. I don't know that we're supposed to be busy. And so, if I'm honest with you, though, the result of that is I'm trying to do the best I can. You know, I think most of you are trying to do the best that you can. Like, I want to be the best husband that I can. I want to be the best friend that I can. I want to be the best pastor that I can. I think most of you want to be the best that you can at whatever God has in front of you. Like, I genuinely think that. I think most of us are trying to do the best that we can. The harsh reality, though, sometimes is we look at what our best is and we go, I don't know if that's what God intended for me. If we look at our best and go, I don't know that this is everything that God has for me. When we talk about flourishing, I don't know that my best I'm giving right now looks like flourishing. And there's a tension that can exist there. And so what do we do with the tension that I'm trying to do the best that I can, you're trying to do the best that I can, and there's this tension that exists? How do we flourish if we feel like our best isn't what God has for us? And so I want us to look at John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. If you've got your Bible or your Bible app, you can look it up there. We'll throw it up on the screen for you. Our tech people do a wonderful job. I think we got DJ and Michaela and Hadley back there. They're doing a great job. Can we give it up for them? They do a great job. And so here's what verse 10 says in John chapter 10. The thief comes only. Maybe you need to underline or highlight the word only. That's a very clear word. Comes only to what? Steal and kill and destroy. That's Jesus talking, by the way, in case you're wondering. That's what Jesus says the thief comes to do. Steal, kill, destroy. He's got a very simple job description. It's all-encompassing, and those three things is why the thief shows up in our life. But Jesus says that's why the thief has shown up in your life. Jesus then goes, he wants to clarify why I've shown up. Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life to the full. But Jesus also clarifies in the first half of that verse, he says, you need to also understand that I've come to give life to the full, but there's someone out there that does not want you to have it. There's someone out there that does not want you to have life to the full. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. One of Kaylin's my wife, one of our favorite date nights out, if we want to really treat ourselves, is we go to Dan's Cuban Grill in Blairsville. Anybody been to Dan's Cuban Grill? Give me a little amen. You know what I'm saying? It's good, okay? And then if we're really feeling good, like it is a special date night, we get Dan's Churrasco, which is a large skirt steak. Anyone relate that steak? That is how you have a good date night, you know what I'm saying? And so we go get that, and they give you this chimichurri sauce you put on it, and we get white rice and black beans, and it is delicious. It is good. And there was one night we were out having a date night, and I said, we're going to live it up tonight. I'm getting Dan's churrasco. And they bring it out, and it's like the size of the plate, okay? And you see, I'm 6'2", and I'm not as athletic as I should be, but I am playing soccer once a week and getting back to it, this close to going pro. If you can hear Hadley's booing me from the bunker, okay? And so I'm not quite there, but I can eat some food, you know what I'm saying? And so they put the skirt steak, and I get about halfway done, and I'm like, I'm plowing through this steak. I can finish it. About 3/4 of the way through, the alarm bells start going off. I've hit my limit. But you ever just had good food in front of you? Maybe like it's Thanksgiving or a birthday or something. You just have good food in front of you, and it's on the plate. And maybe you were raised in a way that you don't leave good food on the plate or really any food on the plate. And so I'm staring at this, and I ordered this food, and it's too much. It's too much. And so, but I just keep plowing through. I finish the plate, and it's good. It's good food. But that night, I'm miserable. I'm miserable. That night, I can't sleep. I can't digest the food. My digestive system is like Atlanta rush hour traffic. Like, we're not moving at the pace we need to move right now. And so I'm just laying there, and I'm miserable. I'm overly full of a good thing. And I wonder if that's how you and I feel sometimes. Our life is overly full, and a lot of times it's good things. It's things we want in our life. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's you ordered 3 pounds of vegetables and had to plow through, and you're feeling unpleasant because you didn't enjoy it. But sometimes in our life is full from good things. But our soul then begins to feel it. Can you relate to that? You feel overextended at times, or you feel overwhelmed, or maybe you're getting to the point where anxiety is starting to set into your life, and you start to go, I feel overwhelmed, I feel overextended, I feel a little bit of anxiety in my life. And then Jesus says I'm supposed to have life to the full. My life does feel full, but it doesn't feel pleasant. Or let me put it to you this way. My life feels full, but it doesn't have peace. So what do we do when Jesus says, I've come to give life to the full, but then when our life is full, it's not that enjoyable. It's not what we thought it would be. I've got a theory that when Jesus says the word full, it's different than what American culture tells us should be full. I've got a theory that those two things are not the same thing. I think the American dream of being overwhelmed and overextended, yet still feeling like we're somehow missing something, is not what Jesus intended. Is that not what our American tendencies teach us sometimes, is that you've got to keep going, you've got to keep pushing, you're feeling overextended, you feel overworked, you feel overcommitted, and yet you're somehow feeling like you're still missing something. Like, is that not a tension that can exist in our life of feeling overextended yet still missing something? How does that work? It doesn't work because it's not supposed to. I don't think that's what Jesus meant when he said, I've come that you may have life to the full. I don't think that's what he meant for us. Look at Job 38, because it's not a message with Philip at Vertical if we don't get Old Testament involved. You know what I'm saying? And so Job 38, verse 8 says, who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop. And this is after chapters and chapters in the book of Job where Job's life has fallen apart. He's lost family. He's lost wealth. He's lost a lot of things. And he's just kind of finally had it with God. And he tells God, like, how could you do these things? And one of God's responses to Job in this chapter is, were you there when I made everything? Were you there when I made everything? And in case you're wondering, Job's answer is, well, no, I wasn't. And God tells him, were you there when I made the oceans and I gave them limits? I looked at the waves and I said, you'll go no further. I put limits in place on the ocean. And as I was praying through this, God said, Philip, that's what I did with a 24-hour day. I looked at human beings in a 24-hour day and I said, you will go no further. Have you ever been guilty of saying something that I say far too often? If only I had more time. if only I had more time. It's a curious thing to say if God, who created everything, said, you only need 24 hours, Philip. 24 hours and you will go no further. I was having dinner with some friends this week, and one of my friends described it as this, that when we started talking about limitations and the way God has designed things, he said, there's grace in that. There's grace in that. And I started thinking about the principle of the grace of limitations. The grace of limitations. See, when I say things like limitations, how many of you get real excited? We don't really like the word limitations. Don't put limits on me. Don't put limits on me when I go get Dan's churrasco. You know what I'm saying? I want my freedom. As Americans, we don't like the word limitations. We don't like that. But what if there is grace in the way God designed things? What if there was grace when he said, the waves, you'll go no further? What if there was grace in him only putting 24 hours in the day? What if there was grace in the way that he made you? What if there was grace in the way that he made me? What if he looked at human beings as the one who created us and said, 24 hours is all that you need and all that you should try to handle? 24 hours and you'll go no further. But see, our culture here in America pushes us, right? It pushes us to be our best, chase the American dream. If you're not going 110 miles per hour, you're what? Failing. You're lazy, right? That's kind of where we're getting to as a society. If you're not going at 110 miles per hour, at 110%, you are failing. The irony is that, is if you keep up that pace, what do other people do? They applaud you, right? People around you applaud you. Your boss probably thinks you're the greatest thing ever. People are applauding you. Way to go, keep going, keep grinding, keep doing, keep going. Your tank is empty, but people are applauding, so you just keep going. But what if that's not life to the full the way that Jesus intended for us? What if he looks and goes, I designed for your tank to be full, not empty? What if when Jesus looks at us and says, you have 24 hours with me, that's all you need? He's right. I think about a cup. If you put it down on the table and you go fill it with something powerful, something we all enjoy, like sweet tea. Somebody say amen to that? You know, some Chick-fil-A sweet tea or some Sawmill sweet tea, something that's borderline sending me into a diabetic comatose, but it's good, okay? And when the waitress or waiter comes back and they give you that second round of sweet tea, you're just like, I sense the Lord in this place, you know? And so they start filling the cup. But that cup has a limit, doesn't it? You ever had a waiter or waitress, they just forget to stop and they just keep going? And you're like, I'm excited about the sweet tea, but now the sweet tea's all over my table. It's less pleasant this way because the cup could only hold so much of a good thing. Your soul is like that. Your soul can only contain so much in this lifetime. But sometimes with work and with friends and with news and with everything going on, we just keep pouring and we don't stop. And our soul can only absorb so much, and it's running over, and we feel overextended, and we feel overwhelmed. And Jesus said, I came to give life to the full. And you're like, yeah, I'm trying that, and it's not pretty right now. And he goes, that's not the full I was talking about, because everything you've got in that tank is not what I intended for you. He looks at the tank that we look at as full, and he goes, that's actually empty. He looks at the tank that we've filled with so many other things besides him, and he looks at it and goes, that's empty. That's not what I described as life to the full. You see, when I say things like, if only I had more time, I've realized that should be a red flag to me. That should be a red flag that I'm looking at the God of the universe, the one that made you, and he made me, and he said, you will go no further than 24 hours. And I look back at him and go, yeah, but I need more. It's a bold thing for me to say to the creator of the universe, for me to look back and essentially say in 2021 language, you messed up. You messed up. You didn't give me enough time. You know, the funny thing about God is he can take what we say. It doesn't mean he agrees. Looks back and goes, you can say you need more time, but I'm telling you, you don't. I made you. I created you, and there's grace in limitations. He looks at us and says, you don't need more than 24 hours, but there's so many things on my plate that it begins to feel like it's strangling the life to the full that Jesus intended for us. John Ortberg puts it this way, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith, it is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith, it is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. I felt that. I read that and I felt personally attacked. I said, John Ortberg, I'm writing you a personal email and it's going to be unpleasant words. You personally attacked me when you said that. That if I get so rushed, so preoccupied, so busy, so doing the right things, living 110 miles per hour, you're saying I'm going to live a mediocre version of what Jesus intended for me. And John Ortberg would say, exactly. Exactly. I go, that's offensive. You go, John Ortberg, he must be from the Eastern way of thinking. Here in the Western way of thinking, we go 110 miles per hour, we leave it to the max or we're not living. Jesus, I don't know that says anything like that, though, in the New Testament. Some of you have read the Bible far more than me, and I don't pretend that's not true. I've read the Bible through a couple times. I'm yet to find in the New Testament, or even in my favorite Old Testament, where Jesus or anyone else goes, if you don't live life beyond your means and to the max, you fail the Lord Almighty. You yet to find that. And I've even tried reading different translations. I've changed it up. I suggest that if you're reading the Bible all the way through, change it up. Go ESV, go NIV, go NLT. Change it up a little bit. See a different perspective. Yet to find that. If you live beyond your means, you have honored the Lord Almighty. Haven't found it yet. Haven't found it. If you have, we'll talk about it. I'm curious about your translation at that point, but I haven't seen it yet. And then I go back to things like John 10:10. And the first half of it where Jesus tells us that a thief comes. So what does he do? He says, only steal, kill, and destroy. But we talked about how the world likes to applaud us when we're living life to the max, and we're grinding, and we're going, and we're overcommitted and overwhelmed, but then the world applauds us for that. Let me put it to you this way. It's like the thief packs up a U-Haul to our house. We look out the windows, because, I mean, all y'all do that when someone pulls up your house, right? It's North Georgia. You look out the windows, who's pulling up? And you see a U-Haul packing up, and you're like, well, that's bizarre. I'm not moving. And the thief gets out the door, knocks on the door, and says, hey, I'm here to take your TV. But we're so busy, we're so rushed, we're so preoccupied, we're going all the way that rather than the thief having to come steal the TV, we help him move it out. And then he comes back and goes, well, that was kind of easy. Do you mind if I take your couch? And we're so busy, we're so rushed. Yeah, let's take the couch, let's keep going. And he kind of gets in a rhythm, and then he goes, well, I've come to kill, so why don't we take the refrigerator? And we go, huh, well, let's just keep going. We got to keep grinding, we got to keep moving. What if the way we're living, where life has made it where the thief doesn't even have to steal anything anymore? We're helping him move stuff out on our own. What if we've gotten there? Where because the world's applauding us for how overextended, how overcommitted we are, that the thief doesn't have to bother to come steal life to the full in Jesus anymore. We're so preoccupied and rushed, we'll help him do it. That's a hard pill for you and I to swallow, I think. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus said in the first half of the verse, there's a thief that does not want you to live life to the full. But Jesus says in the second half of the verse, I've come so that you can have life and to the full. But you and I may need to slow down enough to go, what does full really look like in Jesus? I think the New Testament's pretty clear. It looks like things like peace. Peace. I think it looks like things like joy. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about things like love. Being in harmony with Jesus is life to the full. But how many of you could relate to me? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'll raise my hand. I'm so busy that harmony with Jesus can't fit on the schedule. I don't have time for that 3 o'clock appointment to have harmony with Jesus. But here's the ironic thing. Jesus has time for me. Jesus has time for you. What if Jesus has plans for you and I every day for you and I to flourish? What if Jesus, at the start of every 24 hours, gets up and says, I have life to the full for you today. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have plans and purposes for you today. And your response is something like mine. I don't have time for that today in my 24 hours. You only gave me 24 hours, God, and I've got other things to do. It's not that Jesus didn't have a life plan for us that day to flourish. He just didn't make the agenda for us. What if there's a different way to live our life than what we have been applauded and pushed to live? And it's life to the full through Jesus. If I'm honest with you, several months ago, my soul got to the point, and I think I've been honest, whether it was on the podcast or here on the platform, that it felt like my soul was overstimulated. If you could picture a soul, it just was shaking, like someone was calling your phone and they didn't stop. It just felt like there was just so much news and outside opinion and friendships and work and all these things just pouring in. My soul couldn't keep up. And so I started talking to the Lord about it. This doesn't seem right. And he goes, it's not. And so he started asking me to cut certain things out of my life to live at a different pace. And you know what I can say after several months of doing what the Lord asked me to do? I'm still not perfect, but I have more peace. I'm still not perfect, but I'm able to love people better. I'm still not perfect, but there is things like love, joy, and peace more in my life than before. And it's ironic because how in the world, the way we've been taught, how can less mean more? How can less mean more? Like, we're taught, we're always one thing away from happiness, right? You're always that next promotion away from truly being happy. Like, you're always that next step up in house from being happy. Like, you're always that next upgrade in car from being happy. Like, you're always that next vacation from being happy. Have you ever thought, where did that come from? I don't see that in the New Testament. It's something we've been taught as a society. And honestly, it's probably a heck of a marketing plan. Go slow down and think about it the next time you're watching commercials, how everything's trying to communicate you're this one thing away from happiness. And some of us have been living 30, 40, 50 years, always seemingly one thing away from happiness. What a torturous way to live. Especially when a guy named Jesus came as the Son of God and said, I offer you life to the full. Life to the full. And so let me ask this question. And I want you to write it down. I want you to put it in your phone. I want this to be interactive here. You write down the answer to this question. What could you give up in life right now and still be alive? What could you give up? Write down one thing that you could give up in life and you would still be able to breathe. Like, I'm talking just living. You can absorb oxygen as a human being and take another step. What is one thing? Write it down on your phone or paper. What's one thing you could give up right now and you'd still be alive? Let me ask it slightly differently now. What could you remove in life to fully live? What could you remove in life to fully live? Can I be honest with you? I'm reading a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And he talks about being hurried and busied and things like that, and I agree with that. But I was talking to another friend, and the same thing stuck out to her as it stuck out to me. The most convicting part of the book was when he started talking about how Jesus, we treat a lot like a savior, but not as a teacher. We treat Jesus a lot like a savior, but we kind of ignore a lot of the things he says in the gospel on how to live our life because it doesn't line up with the American dream. And then if we don't do what he teaches, how can we expect to receive what he offers? And man, that was convicting. If I read through the gospels, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, would I be able to read everything and go, what Jesus teaches, I actually apply? Like all of it. Not the stuff that I can apply and make me comfortable. Not the stuff I can apply to make myself feel like I'm a Christian. But do I apply all that he teaches? It's hard. But do we treat Jesus not only as our Savior, but as our teacher? The one who showed us how to actually live life to the full. It's so counterproductive to our thinking in this culture that we always need more to be sustained. And so what if God created the earth and said, you don't need more, you just need me? And we go, well, that's kind of cheesy, that's kind of corny, that's kind of sappy, that's kind of overly simplified. And I'd go, is it? Is it? Think about it this way. God created human beings where all they needed to be content was a garden and God. He created humans where all we needed to be content was a garden and God. Human beings, we've added everything else. I'm not pushing that you have to go minimalistic and you've got to sell everything and go find yourself the most sturdy box you can and put it out of your land. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, where's our focus? Where's our focus to feel sustained and content in life? Is it the Lord? Or has some marketing of a company or idea got to us that we're always one thing away? I'm that one trip to the Turks and Caicos away. I'm that one trip to go get Dan's churrasco away. I'm that one promotion at work. Or I'm that one more kid away. Or I'm that one spouse away. I'm always one thing away from being content. Which is ironic because Jesus said, I've come that you may have life in the full, as in a singular person. It's life to the full in Jesus, or he says it's not life to the full. And I think we need to let that sit in, that you and I were created, that we were made to have everything we need with just a garden and God. We've got to stop buying the lie that we as Christians and people need anything outside of that to be content in who God made us to be. God's not looking for you to go make a certain amount of money or have a certain job title or get a certain status in life or house before he'll be pleased with you. He simply wanted relationship with you and I. It's the one thing you and I sometimes don't have time to offer. It's the one thing God wanted. John Orberg also says, I cannot live in the kingdom of God with a hurried soul. So I want to ask a question. Does your life feel hurried? Does your soul feel overextended? Does your soul feel overwhelmed? And Jesus wants to say to you today, that's not the way I designed you to live. That's not my best for you. That's not everything I have for you. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life to the full, that you may have rich experiences with happiness and joy and love and peace, but it's through me and the way that I teach you to live. That's the hardest tension that exists for me in life is there's clear things that God actually promises in the Bible, but before we get to those promises, there's also standards. And those standards are not always easy. So right now, is the way you're experiencing life, would you describe it as I'm flourishing in everything that God has for me? Would you describe it as I am experiencing life to the full the way Jesus wants me to? And if it's not, Jesus wants to say, I came that you may have that. Like, I love you enough that I want you to have life to the full. That anxiety, that overextension, that burnout that you're experiencing, That's not my best for you. That's not why I made you. That's not why I called you. That is not why you exist, is to just experience life and burnout and overextension and being overwhelmed. I have come that you may have life to the full, but you have to follow in my ways. And so one thing, if I can share, is we kind of close out the sermon. I want to share with you one thing that's really helped me to slow down enough, and it's called the Pause app. And I know I've talked about it on the podcast. I may have talked about it from the platform. It's by John Eldridge. It's called the Pause app. And we're going to go through a video that's very similar to what you'll experience in the app. Austin Watson did a phenomenal job with it. But it's just an app that's very simple. They've got 1 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute videos, and you pause. And he just leads you through, watch this, Bible verses and prayer. And you slow down enough to read the Bible and be in prayer. And try to restore that harmony with Jesus. It's been incredibly helpful for me to push back on the tension of constantly going. Because again, I think a lot of us are the same. We want to be the best. Like, we want to give our best, whether it's as a spouse or in work or wherever, in our friendships. We want to give our best. And there's always this tension that exists in my life. This is how I'm wired. In case you're wondering, if you've been in vertical a long time, it's why I teach this way. I'm very application-driven. I'm very application-driven. One of the hardest things for me to do as far as what Jesus teaches, I'll be honest with you guys, it comes from John 15. John 14 through 16, by the way, three great chapters to read in the Bible if you want something to read this week. But John 15 talks about this idea that Jesus explains of abiding in him. You want you to know that's one of the hardest things for me to do, is to slow down enough in life where I just abide in Jesus. That's very hard for me. I want to constantly keep going and doing and moving. And this pause app, it helps me slow down and focus on the Word of God, focus on prayer, focus on Jesus. And so we're going to go through just this video for just a few minutes, and I want to encourage you to either close your eyes and just listen to the words. I want you to just either read the words in your mind, or maybe if you want to just speak them very softly under your breath, just read along with the words and the prayers and the scripture. But I want us to just slow down enough. Because some of you guys came in here, not physically on two wheels and 110 miles per hour, but in your soul you did. In your soul, you came in here at 110 miles per hour, and it's time to slow down enough to maybe hear a small whisper, like Elijah did. Maybe it's time to slow down enough to hear Jesus, who wants you to have life to the full, say something to you. Every single day, Jesus wants you to have life to the full through him. So let's slow down for just a few minutes. Let's focus in on Jesus. Let's spend some time in the Word and in prayer. And then let's worship with maybe a different pace and with a different focus. And let's go, Jesus, is there some things you want to say to me today? Is there something that needs to change in my life for me to have life to the full the way that you want me to? Because Jesus has wanted you to flourish in life. He does not want you to burn out. He doesn't want you to be overextended. He doesn't want you to be miserable. He has come that you may have life and life to the full. But there may be some things that we have to change to align with that, to have true harmony with Jesus. So let's go ahead and roll that video.
Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. I give everyone and everything to you, God. What do you need to let go of? I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, heal my union with you. I love you. I believe you. I worship you. Restore our union, Lord. Heal and restore our union. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I pray for more of you, God. Fill me with more of you. I pray the river of life would fill me, restore me, renew me, surround me. I need more of you, God. Saturate me with your love. Saturate me with your life. Go forth in harmony with Jesus.